This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Good morning, and welcome to the Business Hour. I'm Ron Camacho, your host, and today the business at hand is the business of smart consulting, of the field that has become critical to lots of businesses simply because the resources may not exist or have not actually been harnessed within an organization, a for-profit business or a nonprofit business. And as companies strive to make themselves more efficient, be more effective, renewing goals and strategies to achieve better ways of aligning their human capital with technology and processes, there is a firm that is an Atlanta-based firm, Jabian Consulting, that has been very successful in helping business achieve their goals more efficiently and more effectively. And so I'm pleased to have as my guest today, Jenny Crenshaw, who's an executive director with Jabian Consulting. Welcome to the Business Hour, Jenny.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, Jenny, let's start off, you know, with the obligatory we don't always start the program with the 60-second overview, but I'm certain that people still ask you, well, what does Jabian Consulting do? So let's talk about what you do for your clients.
Sure. You actually gave a great introduction as to what we do. Our goal is to really help our clients solve their most challenging problems, the problems that they feel that they may not have the skills at that point in time to tackle, or they may not have the bandwidth to tackle that particular problem. They may know kind of the direction that they need to go, but they really don't have the growth capability that they need to achieve their goals at that point in time.
Now, do you work with companies and organizations all across the board in terms of small boutique businesses, some of which might be smaller than Jabian, as well as the big mega giant multinational corporations?
You know, most of our focus is what we call mid-market going to enterprise. So it's those high-growth companies that are experiencing a lot of change and a lot of growth at one time. We do have occasions that we work with particular departments of larger companies where they may be experiencing a lot of change or a lot of challenges, and we'll go in and help them. Very rarely do we find ourselves working with kind of the small companies. When we do, it's more helping them brainstorm or helping them come up with some good ideas. Most of the time, they're in a position where they're really trying to get off the ground, and they have kind of a direction, and they have a pace that they can work at, and that most of the time we're a little bit more high-powered than that small company needs. But we have found good fits on occasion where we were really able to help a company and impact them and help them get off the ground.
What about startups? I heard a very interesting program recently, and I hadn't really given it much thought, but it was obvious that to start a software company that focuses on a couple of different applications, you have some code writers. You might have a founder that is a programming based talent. Add a few people and a little bit of financial expertise, and boom, you can be in a growth mode. If you have a pharmaceutical company, you're not going to be able to start in quite that way. They pointed out that, you know, the barriers to getting off the ground in a field like that, and this may be an extreme example, but if I'm not mistaken, I think they said it was like 1 in 300 pharmaceutical startups really ever get off the ground. And when you operationalize that and you're thinking in terms of research and development and manufacturing associated with it, not to mention all the other business aspects from the FDA and working internationally with other sources of drugs. Have you worked with any startups, particularly the ones that I just mentioned, like the pharmaceutical field, that probably could use all the help they could get.
So there's a tech village that's going on at Georgia Tech right now, and we work with that tech village, which is a startup organization. Georgia is really, Atlanta specifically, is really trying to encourage startups and encourage new growth and new companies. And so we participate there. We also participate in a similar program in Dallas. So we do have lots of different companies that we do some consulting with there. Specifically, I have not worked with a pharmaceutical startup, or most of my experience has been more in the technology space. However, you know, one of the keys there is the process and the rigor required in the medical industry, the pharma industry, and the finance industry is so much higher than when you're talking about creating an app for a smartphone. And so the controls that have to be in place and the overhead that has to be in place before you can really get started or before you can be trusted to be in the marketplace takes so much to invest and to put in place in the beginning, and the speed at which that can be done is a lot slower than when you're talking about that software startup company that, you know, no one's life is on the line. We're not talking about billions of dollars in transactions happening. So you can, just by looking at the industries, you can see that the barrier to entry would be very different.
And I'm sure that must be one of the first discussions you have with the CEO, president, or founder of the new technology-based company. You know, here's our assessment of what it's going to take you to get to the next stage and beyond.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things for us is really understanding what's going on for that company. What are the challenges that that company is going to face specific to what products they're trying to put into the marketplace, what their consumers are looking for. You know, the other thing you think about is consumers in technology spaces for new apps, they expect there to be bugs. They expect they're okay with it not to be perfect. But obviously, when you're talking about a pharmaceutical drug that's going out and it's going to impact someone's life, you can't have that early adopter problem. So, you know, it's very different in what consumers are expecting, what the government will allow, what, you know, regulations are going on for that industry, as well as the type of people that you will find who will migrate toward a software startup company versus those who will go into that pharma company are very different people. So it's really understanding all of that picture and being able to help them solve all of that and make sure that they're bringing in the right people to help them, the right processes, the right structure.
Is the Advanced Technologies Development Center at Georgia Tech, does it fall under that umbrella of what they're calling their Tech Village now, or has that Tech Village become the new name for the ATDC? Do you know?
I don't know. I have not been as involved with the Tech Village as some of our other employees and our founders. So I'm not sure which umbrella it falls under.
My guess is that there must be some relationship there because the Advanced Technologies Development Center is helping those startups in their embryological stages, and then at some point they must get to a point where they're growing and about to go to market and or in some cases go public. I know of one company that is going through that entire – has gone through that entire cycle and probably is ready to leave ATDC. You mentioned helping the company, you know, understanding where they are and you know, what they do and where they want to go, and helping them see all the pieces to the puzzle for growth. I have found that oftentimes it's that extraneous perspective, as well as people who have insight into those areas that the company is going to have to focus on, but it is that ability to have the outside perspective and a grasp of the big picture that startup company who understands maybe its market and its product or its service, but not the big picture. And I think of companies like Jabian as helping those companies. Even sometimes established companies that were in the growth mode that you mentioned before, they still don't oftentimes have the complete big picture and that extraneous perspective that helps a company analyze its own resources better, and marrying it with the big picture of options is what a company like Jabian does, that brings to the party.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that as human beings, when we're very involved in a situation, we tend to see it through our own lenses. And so by being that external party, by having some different experiences and not being part of the in-depth culture of that company, we bring a different viewpoint. We're able to help them analyze those problems and get to solutions that really fit their needs. One of the keys is really understanding who they are and what their culture is and where they're trying to go, and being able to help them put that into perspective with where they fit into the market landscape. So I'll give you an example. We have a client that we helped. They were in a situation where their internal company, they were in a financial area, they were a financial services company, and they had some software developers that they were bringing in, and they were the two sides of the company, the cultures were very different. And so one of the things that we helped them with and helped them realize is that those two cultures didn't naturally fit together. Those cutting-edge software developers who like to wear flip-flops and shorts to work and, you know, work at midnight, and they're very, very innovative in their thoughts, and that's what you want them for, but they're not
as structured in their processes, maybe?
Well, they have their processes and they're following those, but you think about the financial services industry and you have the picture of the accountants and the bankers and the lawyers in your mind, and you think about these software developers, and they're two very different perspectives.
You probably should not meet with the analyst wearing your flip-flops.
You probably should not.
It could work, but
exactly.
It might be better if you...
So one of the things we helped them do was to actually realize that they could separate those two sides of the company, and they could take that software development company, and we did market research to help them realize that they could actually take those services that they were providing to their own company and provide them to other companies as well, and that could be a standalone company. And there was need in the market for that. And it also helped them with the culture side of, they had these two different cultures and they didn't have to marry them as closely. They could operate them as independent organizations.
You know, the integrating of two different company cultures is a critical part in the success after a merger or acquisition. I'm wondering, does Jabian get brought in early on or even later in the process of a merger or an acquisition in some cases?
Yeah, we actually have an offering that we call VIMO, and it's a value integration management office. And one of the things that we find is that companies really struggle with, they do their research up front, they figure out what they're wanting out of that integration, but the execution of that merger or acquisition over the long term, they don't usually find the value that they expected to find. And so what VIMO is really designed to do is to give them that framework and that capability to start from the beginning as they bring that company in and make sure that over that first year especially, they're getting the value out of that integration that they expected and wanted.
We're going to be taking a break here. We're with Jenny Crenshaw, an executive director with Jabian Consulting, but we'll be back with Jenny right after this break.
This is Michael Gano with Insight to Israel. Every day, the Israeli Defense Force finds itself on the front line of the war with the militant arm of Islam. Surrounded by enemies from within and without, they fight for the only Jewish state. Military service is mandatory, ladies serving 2 years and men serving 3 right out of high school. While young people in other democracies are busy traveling or attending university, Israeli men and women gear up for basic training. In a world of heads of state, politicians, ambassadors, diplomats, and a leftist media, many times our voice at the grassroots level is drowned out. So we started an ongoing project called Hershey's for Heroes. Patriot conservatives from all over the U.S. are sending Hershey's chocolate bars with a note of thanks for defending Israel. Won't you join us by sending a sweet message to the IDF? For information, please see my Facebook page at Michael Gano. Thank you, God bless Patriot Conservatives, and God bless Israel in her struggle for sovereignty and security.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, It seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
Come on, follow Sniffles to Atlanta's go-to center for breathing easy. Do you suffer from chronic sinus headaches, recurrent sinusitis, facial pain or pressure, and chronic congestion? Well, balloon sinuplasty just could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Follow Sniffles.com. We treat the problem, not the symptom. Chronic sinus symptoms, gone. This could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
This proven in-office procedure can have you breathing easy, back to work the next day, and it's done under local anesthesia. Get lasting relief, a quick recovery, and start breathing easy again.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Follow Sniffles.com.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to the Business Hour. We're here with Jenny Crenshaw, an executive director with Jabian Consulting, and we've been talking about the kinds of things that Jabian does to support its clients in problem solving, in driving growth, in improving profitability, improving overall efficiency within the organization. And one of the areas that Jabian Consulting helped the Sandy Springs Perimeter Chamber, a smaller chamber within the larger combination of chambers of commerce in the Atlanta metro area, but one where I, in fact, am a board member. And we are doing some things which are quite advanced as smaller chambers of commerce go. The economy for the particular Sandy Springs Perimeter area here in North Metro Atlanta is very strong, and we're looking at ways to sustain that strength, that growth, maybe even attract companies in specific areas of technology, from information technology to biosciences. And we really needed to refine our roadmap for what we would focus on moving forward, and we turned to Jabian, and Jabian helped us to develop a strategy to really drill down and understand what was important to us and where we wanted to go, and came up with a very detailed strategy that we will hopefully be executing per that strategy over the next few years and many years. A strategic plan can be so important to so many companies. There are many which have managed to succeed by flying by the seat of their pants, but if you have a roadmap, it's so much better. Does Jabian get involved in creating lots of strategic plans, and do you find that there are some basic principles of a good strategic plan that are reoccurring?
Absolutely. Strategic planning is one of our key strengths. It's one of the areas that we believe really differentiates what's going to happen inside of a company and how successful they're going to be. Part of that, making that plan successful, I think the two things that I would point out is really understanding your purpose. So we really believe in understanding the why, both personally and professionally, when we're working with an organization. And being able to really define that, and you hear a lot about your mission and your vision statement, and those are great words that we use. We tend to focus more on what is the purpose, of that organization, and what mark are you really trying to leave, and really putting your goals together to leave that mark. And then our tagline is actually strategy that works. And the point there is, having the plan is not enough. You can have a great plan, and if you're not actually executing and making sure that you're keeping to that plan and that you don't have tangible goals that you can meet on short-term and long-term basis, then it's really not going to make a difference in your organization. And so I think, you know, in my opinion, those are the two keys that every company needs to be able to have in their strategic plan.
A plan that has a tactical aspect for execution that you actually follow. What a novel approach. How does Jabian differentiate itself from the giant consulting groups, the Accentures, the McKessons, the KPMGs, the Deloittes?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. And one, we are a local company, so one of the things that you're going to see is you're going to see us in the community, you're going to see us at the grocery store, you're going to run into us, you know, every day. So it's being able to really form those relationships and have a commitment to our clients that really makes a difference. You're also going to see the people who are involved in setting the stage and scoping that work, involved in delivering that work. So we believe in building those deep relationships with our clients and sticking to that. There are a couple of other things. Because we're not, our clients often tell us that when they're bringing in those large consulting companies, they feel some pressure to bring in large-scale projects and to bring in a large team. And those companies are great at doing those large projects. We're not that size. We can't put 500 people on the ground. So our clients are sometimes relieved working with us because they know that that's not our goal. That's not what we're trying to accomplish. And then I think the other thing is because we're not just doing one side or the other, we really take a multidimensional approach to solving our problems or solving a business's problems. So we're integrating change management into everything that we do. We're integrating business strategy into everything that we do. So even if we're in doing program management for a software delivery program, you're going to see us bringing in change management expertise to the table and making sure that we're looking at that problem holistically. And while the large companies will do that to some scale, because they are larger and there are more specialties and people who don't have exposure, it's not as easy for them to work together to solve the problem. So us being a smaller group, we're often meeting on our own time to make sure that we're bringing in all of those aspects to solve that problem.
And one important aspect of JBN is that if you should need to bring in some strength from another organization, like one of the bigger consulting groups, you have insight into how those larger groups work, because the founders of JBN have their roots in one of the larger consulting groups, so you understand and essentially speak the language and understand the processes of the bigger consulting groups, so you can bring them in virtually seamlessly and cost effectively. Is that the case?
Absolutely. So all of our consultants have background in the large consulting firms. It's one of the things that we look for as we're hiring new employees. And for us, we know when those larger consulting companies are needed, and when, especially working with our mid-market clients who are really going into that enterprise space, oftentimes they haven't worked with those large consulting companies and they don't really know how to engage them in the best way possible to be cost effective and to be the most efficient. And so we're there and we can really help them. And we have close ties with a lot of our former colleagues in those companies, and we know where their strengths are and what they're really good at. And there are times when we encourage our clients that, this is a good time to bring in that systems integrator or be able to get help from a company that can do some of that work. And we're there to partner with our clients and help represent our clients in that situation and make sure that they're getting what they need out of that partnership in that situation.
Now, I had mentioned that very often having that external, extraneous perspective is what I typically call it, brings sometimes a completely different perspective. It's sort of a fresh perspective to analyzing a company's internal resources and then combining that with a better grasp of the big picture is part of the value of working with a company like JBN. But even as a smaller, high-powered boutique, JBN takes this very multidimensional approach to dealing with aspects of human capital, business strategy, operational excellence, technology execution, customer interaction, and technology optimization. And even though you have a specialty that is in the area of technology and technology integration, let's talk a little bit about those different areas. And my assumption is that in some cases there may need to be a heavy focus in just one of these areas, where in other cases you're actually helping a company to analyze all of those different areas and apply resources to the multidimensional strategy. Let's talk about, for example, and it's used to integrate business and technology as well as driving growth and managing change, or as Jabian says, to get stuff done. But let's talk about, within that context, the area of human capital.
Sure. So, human capital is all about the people and the people aspect of getting your business done. And one of the things that Jabian believes and that we're founded on is, people are first. And our seven tenets of the trusted advisor begins with people before everything. And so understanding that, and understanding that you can't implement a technology system, you can't change an operational excellence target, you can't do anything in your company without those people and those people adopting it and being behind it, proves that human capital has to be first in our minds in anything we're doing. And so that one really reaches across the board. There are some cases, if we're doing an org change or if we're doing an org design, where it's more targeted to the human capital area, but even in that situation, an organizational design, that organization, unless you're specifically talking about the HR group, if you're talking about a technology group or a finance group, they have other processes that they're running for the business. So you can't, we found it very unlikely that you get to solve any tough problem by focusing in one area alone, which is why when we began Jabian, we went and started targeting people across what we call our six shooter, our six major offerings that you had touched on, to make sure that we're solving problems holistically and we're bringing that whole picture to the table. So just another quick example there is companies oftentimes launch CRMs, customer relationship management tools, to improve their customer experience. And that's a huge benefit to customers, and customers absolutely feel the need to have that personalized experience. However, one of the key success factors to a CRM that decides whether or not it will be successful for that company is the adoption and how the people who are using that tool or being asked to use that tool feel about that. So you're not going to get the operational benefits, you're not going to get the technology benefits unless people actually adopt it. So you can't solve half the problem. You have to look at the people, process, and technology to solve the problem.
Right, looking at how all those different areas are integrated. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll touch on other areas of business strategy, operational excellence, technology execution, customer integration, and technology optimization, which is an area of your expertise. We're here with Jenny Crenshaw of Jabian Consulting. We'll be back with Jenny right after this break.
Do your children know where their food comes from? At ConnectingFarmToFork.com, there's all kinds of ways to help your child understand how 300 million of us here in America stay nourished, clothed, and healthy. Activities, food facts, and farm visits help young people learn about America's hardworking farmers and have lots of fun doing it. Visit ConnectingFarmToFork.com today for a learning experience that'll really grow on you. ConnectingFarmToFork.com. Brought to you by the people who care at Feedstuffs Food Link.
This is Dr. Susan Blank, host of Detailing Addiction on America's Web Radio. Please join us at 4 p.m. on Tuesday afternoons.
Membership. Are you an IHC member? Access to the Institute for Healthcare Consumerism's breaking news, industry trends, expert blogs, and networking with IHC's industry-wide member community. IHC membership puts you at the focal point of the dynamic health and benefit industry, allowing you to join the conversation and collaborate with industry stakeholders and your peers. Your IHC membership includes a subscription to Healthcare Consumerism Solutions Magazine, Healthcare Exchange Solutions Magazine, annual publications Healthcare Solutions Superstars, and Healthcare Solutions Outlook, a free white paper, and much more. Sign up as a free IHC member or $99 premium IHC member today at www.theihcc.com. That's www.theihcc.com.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that snoring can lead to chronic health problems? Snoring can be a sign of sleep apnea. Snoring is simply noisy breathing that can disturb those around you. However, sleep apnea is a serious condition that leads to a decrease in oxygen in the blood. The brain and the heart are two organs that depend on oxygen to function well. Studies have shown that a lack of oxygen at night leads to weight gain, problems with memory and concentration, depression, high blood pressure, obesity, diabetes, and stroke. There are several ways to decrease snoring. For example, lose weight if you are overweight. Avoid alcohol at least 3 to 4 hours before bedtime. Stop smoking. Control nasal allergies to things such as dust and mold. And avoid eating dairy products such as milk and cheese. If you think you have sleep apnea, you should see a doctor to be evaluated. Please join me on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
Hi, this is Kate Copsey inviting you to listen year-round to America's Homegrown Veggie Show every Saturday at 10 a.m.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to the Business Hour. I'm Ron Camacho, your host. And we're here with Jenny Crenshaw, an executive director with Jabian Consulting. And we've been talking about the ways in which Jabian helps its clients to manage growth, to do some serious problem solving, to manage change, or simply to become more efficient and more effective in the way that the company operates. And before the break, we were talking about the area of human capital, which is one of the market offerings from Jabian. And one of the things I just simply wanted to ask is whether or not at the core of human capital is the question, you know, what is it that you're trying to do, whether it's a product or a service offering that a company is about to launch, who do you have in position? You know, what sort of human capital and resources do you have in position to launch that product or service? And does Jabian get involved in helping the client expand and add additional resources, additional human capital to be put against the project, and maybe even in some cases to subtract?
Sure. Part of making a launch successful or an organizational change successful or simply meeting your strategic goals is understanding the resources that you have at your disposal and do those resources help you meet your goals. And so there are times when we will come in and we'll do a organizational assessment and we'll decide, help the client decide whether they have the skills in place, whether they have the correct roles in place to meet their goals, and whether the people who are in those goals are actually have the skills that they need. And sometimes it'll be we don't have the manpower or the client doesn't have the manpower to get that done, or they don't have the skills. And in those cases, we'll help them design what they need to train those people so that they will be prepared to put plans in place so that we can help them over time monitor that progress and make sure they're hitting what they need to hit and that those people are enabled. And in some cases, there are situations when they have people they don't need or people are in the wrong position based on where things are changing. So at that point, we'll help them figure out what the best answer for those resources are. Often it's moving them to another part of the organization or helping them find an organization where they can fit better with what's going on in the future.
Now, this next market offering that Jabian supports its clients with is something that must, in many cases, work hand in hand and almost simultaneously. And if people didn't come first, this might be considered what comes, I guess, immediately thereafter. And that's business strategy. We've touched on this, you know, whether you have a strategic plan or not, more often you're going to succeed if you do have a business strategy. Do you find that Jabian is brought in sometimes with that thought in mind? Someone's not even thinking about their human capital. They're thinking about, we just need some direction. So you're brought in initially to develop a business strategy?
Absolutely. We're often brought in because there's a business question or a directional question about where that business organization is headed. They are looking for new products to launch or ways to expand their business, or they're looking for sometimes a way to contract their business because they feel like they've gotten too broad and they need to figure out how to refocus. And so absolutely, we're there to help them figure that out and do the market research and understand where they can be headed, as well as understand their strengths. So that, you know, that involves talking to their customers and determining what's going on there. You know, we had a company that we were working with recently, and it was really about helping them understand what their core was. They were looking at a particular product they had and how could they expand that product. But we were able to help them understand that they actually had a set of capabilities and they could apply those capabilities broader in the market space to go beyond the particular product that they had, but to use their core strengths and apply to other markets or other industries to make that same type of thing available.
Which brings us to the next area of operational excellence, you know, which would work hand in hand with human capital and the business strategy. Give us an example, without naming names, of how you helped a company improve its operational excellence.
That one is it's probably the thing that people look at the most. So definitely when you're looking at cost savings, people are looking at how to become more efficient. And, you know, we recently had a client who was had some systems who were, they were older systems, and the individuals using those systems, it was taking them up to a week to do some particular steps to launch and set up their events. And so we were brought in to help them figure out how we could make that better, and we were actually able to save almost a person year per month by really redesigning that process and putting it out. And, I mean, they've had great return on investment from that just in the few months that it's been launched. So, you know, I think the key to operational excellence is understanding the customer experience and not letting that customer experience degrade as you're finding those efficiencies, and then making sure that your people are on board with adopting those changes. And so it's really about making your people's lives easier so that they adopt it and then they're happier when working with your customers. If you're going in to do operational excellence, I worked with a client where we came in right after they had launched a large-scale operational excellence program. And unfortunately, the employees really felt like it was just cutting jobs. It was just making their lives harder. And so it wasn't positioned in the right way for them to adopt it and feel good about it. And that can be difficult when you are in a situation where you're impacting a large percentage of the company from a job perspective. But we found that if we can target it the right way and really understand what's going to make those people's lives better and what's important to them, and that's where human capital knowledge and expertise comes in into play to make sure that gets adopted.
My guess is that there are a lot of companies that, let's say within one division, there are 60 people that are broken into three subgroups depending on a product offering or service offering. And there's a general sense that they're just not operating efficiently, but they can't quite get a handle on what it is that's not working right. And Jabian's brought in to help them analyze, to actually problem solve where it is they can get essentially more bang for the buck, maybe shrinking one team, getting more out of 18 people than 20 people in this group, but maybe adding a couple of people that are critical to another group, and just sort of literally changing the number of people and human capital in those separate groups to just operate more efficiently. Is that the case?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really understanding the functions that need to happen within those groups and how to make those functions work best, and then aligning people to those functions where they operate best, and making sure that the team is set up in a way that they understand what their responsibilities to each other are and that there's an accountability across those. That's where we find the most bang for the buck for our clients.
Let's demystify technology execution, which is another area, another market offering from Jabian. You know, that term can be so nebulous, but I know that one of your areas of expertise, which is technology optimization and technology execution, give us an example of where technology execution is focused on and how you can help a company be more efficient in that area.
Absolutely. So I've spent much of my career focused on integrating systems and being able to provide data so that the customer experience is better, so that, you know, the employees' experience is better and their jobs easier. So there was a recent customer that I was working with, and they had multiple systems housing their customer data. And so one of the first things we were able to do was really look at how those systems were housing that data and understand what we could do to bring that data together and give them one picture of their customer. If a customer, today, a customer doesn't expect to be treated different at a physical location than at a virtual location, and they expect you to understand what their total picture is. And companies traditionally have had walls between different datas or different channels. And so it's really helping them to understand how that integration can happen. And then putting a plan in place and walking to the plan. I'm not personally tied to one methodology or another in software delivery. There are agile methodologies that I absolutely support and love for the right situation. There are waterfall methodologies that are absolutely right for the right situation. And so finding what's right for that company and that culture and those applications and their targets is really what makes it successful.
You know, along those lines, I know that I'm not the only one that oftentimes feels that I've got someone from American Express, America Online, Apple, AT&T, not to name names, but one of the big companies where you might even be getting real support from one individual, but then they need to switch you to another department, and you're having to repeat critical information. Is that one of those areas, Jenny, that you've been able to help some companies? And when you talk about integrating data in such a way that the virtual experience can be better, and I would imagine that you're making the in-person experience, the retail encounter better as well, because people are accessing information about you, about your account. Is that one of those areas that JBeam can help a company with, is integrating data so that the next person you talk to, of the eight people you're going to talk to in the course of that conversation, are all pulling up the same information?
Absolutely. So one thing about JBeam is we don't do the actual development. So we're not going to put hands on keyboards and write code. But what we are going to do is help you figure out the strategy for implementing that data and help you figure out how to get there. So create that plan, create that design, so that you will have that overall solution. And, you know, one of the things that we believe is business before technology. And the reason that that's important is that we know that we're there to solve a business problem, and that customer experience and bringing that experience, for example, to the table is that business problem we need to solve. There's nothing more frustrating than not being recognized by a company that you've been doing business with for years and you're a huge customer, and they don't have that information to recognize you or treat you the same.
Which brings us to the next area, and that's, customer interaction. You know, you touched on that. Do you have clients that bring you in for strictly? And again, we're talking about integrating all these areas from human capital and business strategy, operational excellence to technology, but are you brought in sometimes just to focus on that customer interaction? And we're going to be taking a break so we can address this when we come back. But the customer experience is so important these days. I'm wondering, you know, if you're brought in to address that area initially with a lot of clients. And we'll talk about that with Jenny Crenshaw with JBeam Consulting right after this break.
Cook Immigration Partners is your passport through the immigration maze. Whether it's help with E-Verify in your business, or help in how to document a new employee under the new I-9 rules, or if you marry a foreign national, Cook Immigration Partners is your best choice for a legal advocate. Call us today at 866-286-6200. That's 866-286-6200, or visit us on the web at www.immigration.net.
Hi, I'm Paisley McDonald, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my show, At Home with Paisley, every week, Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern, for practical advice and stylish living for your home and office.
Watchdog is a term given an organization like the United States Justice Foundation, which since 1979 has been watching out and, when necessary, taking the appropriate action from testifying to litigating to protect our constitutional rights. USJF, a nonprofit organization, is nationally recognized not only as a watchdog, but many in the government, as well as those involved in legal cases, have also called the USJF a bulldog for the tenacious approach in their presentation and proof of what is right. Find out more at www.usjf.net. Support USJF as they support you.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to the Business Hour. We're here with Jenny Crenshaw, an executive director with Jabian Consulting, and we've been talking about all the ways that Jabian helps companies operate more efficiently. And we've gone through a range of the market offerings. And before the break, we were talking about customer interaction. It's one of those areas that a lot of companies realize is critical to their success and profitability. The customer experience, the customer interaction. Are you brought in strictly initially to focus on customer interaction with some clients?
Absolutely. That's, as you said, that's a hot spot for most companies right now, realizing that their customers want that personalized interaction and how are they going to get it. And so we're brought in, and we actually have our offerings around how to analyze that customer experience, what the customer's expectations are, what they want and what they're looking for from their clients, and then help you put in place plans to actually deliver that and be able to meet their expectations and exceed their expectations.
Let's move on to technology optimization, which has also got to be a hot spot. I mean, with technology changing at the speed of light, what you have to keep up with, Jenny, as a person who focuses on technology optimization, you must be reading regularly about new hardware, software systems, applications that are designed to improve the way that a company operates. But in many cases, because it's not necessarily proven technologies, you're having to make an educated guess about, you know, what will and what won't work. But let's talk about technology optimization.
Sure. You know, there's multiple aspects to technology optimization. There's looking at your processes and how you're delivering. One of the biggest challenges that technology organizations within companies have is the trust with their customers, with their business clients, and making sure that they're delivering on time and on budget for their clients and meeting those clients' expectations. So we're brought in to look at how they're delivering and what steps they're going through to deliver, what is their relationship like with their customers, and then also helping them understand what is out there from a technology perspective and what solutions they can bring to the table. We're not aligned to any one platform. We made that decision very early on, and the reason for that is we believe that different platforms meet different needs. And when you put business before technology and you understand that no matter what solution I pick, as long as it fits my business need and it's going to enable that, that's the right choice for me, then we can have that independent third-party view that you spoke about earlier to help them really choose what's best for them and then how to implement that solution for their business.
I want to go back to that example that I believe that lots and lots of people have, and they don't necessarily have it on a regular basis, but now and then you are forced to have to pick up the phone or go online to deal with one of the companies that has millions of customers, and you are either talking to or texting with someone online from another continent. I happen to be interested in who I might be talking to, or at least where they are. So I might ask, "Are you in Mumbai? Am I, you know, and or are you in the Philippines, or are you in Mexico?" And very often, my guess is that the representatives are told that it's fine to say, "Yes, I'm in Mexico." And most recently, I had a very pleasant encounter with someone in Mexico that was extremely helpful, and we were running through some corrections that were computer related. And I wonder if you are faced with that very awkward situation where you're having to advise a company that, one, they may need to outsource for purposes of cost effectiveness, or two, they may need to pull back what was previously outsourced in an international call center because they're going to get better control keeping it domestically. Do you go that far?
Absolutely. You know, that oftentimes that gets into our customer interaction or our operational excellence expertise, and we're looking at what results are you getting? How do your customers feel? Do they feel like they're getting their support that they need? Do they feel like they're having the experience that they need? And what are your drivers from a profitability standpoint? And, you know, it's helping customers, helping our clients understand that although it might be cheaper to do a transaction offshore or to have support offshore, if the customer experience isn't being met, then it's not cheaper in the long run. It's going to cost them. But in the opposite situation, depending on the content, depending on what's happening and how their customers feel about that interaction, if you can go offshore, you can provide that 24/7 coverage. You can sometimes get that support more cost effectively, which then one of the keys is to help companies understand and to help people in those companies understand that doesn't mean necessarily job loss. The company will then grow, and that's one of our focuses is, okay, if we're saving money in this area, how can we help you invest that money in your company so that you can continue to grow? And what can we do to retool those people so they have more experience?
In cases where we're talking about the refining the customer interaction, do you help the company with actual customer satisfaction audits?
Absolutely. We, you know, in one of our recent projects, we did that where we actually went out and polled their customers to understand what it was they were looking for, how they felt about their experience, were they getting the support, and also what other products they would be willing to use this company for.
I'm going to turn to an area that Jabian calls the seven tenets of a trusted advisor, which, by the way, if you go to the Jabian website and you want to get a copy of Trusted, you can read more about how Jabian focuses on these seven tenets. But, Jenny, tell us what those seven areas are right off the bat. Maybe we'll focus on one or two.
Sure. I've mentioned a couple of them already. People before everything, business before technology, brilliance matters, success is the only option, love what you do, give back locally, and develop loyal advocates.
I want to ask about, and because we've given a lot of examples of how and why people before everything really matters, and we've even touched on business before technology, but brilliance matters is an area that I find intriguing. Tell us about why brilliance matters.
You know, when you first ask about what Jabian does, one of the things that we focus on is we want to solve those hardest problems. We want to be there for the toughest situation that you have. And when your job is on the line or when your company is on the line in making those decisions, then brilliance matters. It's making sure that it's that exceptional solution, that we're coming at it from all angles, that we're bringing you the best solution possible. And that matters to us and who we are.
Is there another one of these areas that do you find is particularly meaningful? I know that love what you do is very critical. Giving back loyalty is an area that I want to touch on. Develop loyal advocates. Is there one of those areas that you want to address?
Sure. I think give back locally is one of our biggest drivers. So many of us were road warriors with larger consulting companies in the past, and we realized that we weren't really as involved in the local community as we wanted to be. And so part of developing Jabian, we actually started our own 501c3. It's an employee-led organization where we're driving, giving back our talents, our time, and our dollars to really make a difference in the community where we live. And we do that through organizations both, you know, we're very involved with Winship Cancer Institute, which is very dear to me. We're also involved in House Proud. We're involved in Ronald McDonald House. We work with multiple organizations, and it's really led by what our employees are passionate about and where they want to give back, and they're bringing those ideas to the table and making a difference in their community.
I know that there are a number of charitable organizations that JBN supports, some of which are not recognized or high-profile groups, but, I mean, some of them that are, Children's of Atlanta is considered one of the finest medical slash healthcare facilities for children in the world. The Boys and Girls Clubs of America actually really do help to change the lives of kids. And Open Hand, which supports people that need not just food but nutrition, and Habitat for Humanity has done some incredibly good work. So I find that JBN's emphasis on supporting the local community through these charitable foundations and setting up a 501c3 so that it's a nonprofit orientation of JBN is just very heads up. What advice would you have for a company that might be suffering from the paralysis of analysis about who to engage to help them move forward? You know, they just know there's a problem, and it could be in several of these areas. What do you say to someone who says, God, I know we could be doing things better?
You know, I think it's finding that organization that matches you, finding that organization that is going to be dedicated to your success, that's going to understand what your problems are personally, what your organization's problems are professionally. So many times the layers of solving a problem get into who the people are in that, what the dynamics are. And you need to really look for a company that's willing to dig in and get that done. You know, one of the things that we like to do is have people come and do what we call whiteboard sessions and do some solutioning with us so people really understand what it's like to work with us before they hire us. And I would say look for a company who's willing to do that. Look for a company that's willing to work with you and show you what it's going to be like to work with them. And make sure you're excited about that. Make sure you feel like it fits.
You know, Jenny, you come across as a very professional person that cares. So I hope that JBN knows that you're probably one of the first best people for a prospect to talk to.
Thank you.
We've been with Jenny Crenshaw of JBN Consulting. Thank you for joining us this morning, Jenny.
Thank you for having me, Ron.
And you've been listening to the Business Hour here at America's Radio, 10 a.m. on Friday mornings. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on the radio next week.